The readings for today are taken from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 to 34, and chapter 27, verses 1 to 29. Chapter 25, starting on verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean, from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is a birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Now we'll go to chapter 27, start at the beginning. Jacob gets Isaac's blessing. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he replied. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give him my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and that would bring a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the first curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father, and he said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Esau asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son, Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed them, and he said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Amen. It's surprising how different two children from the same family can be. We see it in our own families and in those of our friends too. I think of my godson, George. He's 17 and studying for his A-levels. He's quiet and studious, and he likes making things. Drones are a favourite. Fortunately, he doesn't live too near to an airport, and he wants to be an engineer like his dad. He's got one or two close friends, but he's often quite content with his own company. Henry, who's George's older brother, is very different. He's very bright too, but also very extrovert. Henry is at uni, where he's got lots of friends, and he's just as fond of socialising as studying. So being at home during lockdown has been frustrating for Henry, but actually quite enjoyable for George. I'm looking forward to seeing what will happen to both these boys as they move into adult life. Our passage today, too, is about two very different brothers, and these brothers had very different destinies. Last week, we heard how Abraham sent his trusted servant on a long journey back to his own people to find a wife for his son Isaac, and how the servant brought back Rebecca. Isaac loved Rebecca very much, but not everything went as planned. Rebecca didn't become pregnant for some time, and it was only after many years and much prayer by her husband that she managed to conceive. And even then, things didn't feel quite right. The NHS advises pregnant women that they can expect to feel their baby's movements as kicks, swooshes, rolls, or flutters. But Rebecca thought there was a football match going on inside her, or perhaps even a wrestling match. Long before the days of ultrasound, Rebecca probably had no idea that she was carrying twins. But Rebecca knew the Lord, and she inquired of him what all this meant. She didn't just complain about the discomfort. She knew that God was in this situation, and she wanted to know his explanation. And the Lord spoke to her. He told her of the two baby boys struggling inside her who would later become two warring tribes, with the older one serving the one who was younger and stronger. And eventually the twins were born, first Esau and then Jacob grasping at his brother's heel. Two very different brothers with very different destinies. The two boys were very different in appearance and in temperament. Esau was hairy, and he grew up to be an outdoor man, keen on hunting. And Isaac liked this outdoor son and the food he prepared from his hunting expeditions, so Esau was his father's favourite. Jacob was smooth-skinned and much quieter. He preferred to stay at home, and he was Rebekah's preferred son. Each boy had his own weakness, too. It seems that Jacob was a schemer and a grasper, manipulating people and situations to get his own way. And Esau was simply interested in satisfying his own immediate needs, and that included food. And the story of the birthright tells us of how the boys' weaknesses played out into their destinies. A birthright in those days was what the eldest son would receive after the father died, and it was significant in any family. The eldest son, in this case Esau, could expect to inherit a double portion compared to his siblings, and he would become head of his household and a priest within his own home. But, as we've seen in the previous chapters, there were extra things at stake in Isaac's family. God had promised Isaac's father Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, and that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. God also told Abraham that his promise of descendants would be fulfilled through Isaac. So, obviously, in turn, it would be fulfilled through one of Isaac's sons, and that made the birthright even more important. Isaac would certainly have remembered God's promise, and presumably he would have told the boys about it too. Jacob understood that the birthright was really significant, and he really wanted to get hold of it, even if he had to use underhand methods. But Esau didn't seem to understand, and he was willing to sell it to Jacob for the price of a stew. Jacob knew his brother's weakness and took his chance when Esau was hungry. And just to be sure, he made Esau swear an oath to say that he really meant to sell the birthright. Despite Jacob's imperfections and his scheming and grasping, he knew that he wanted to be part of the answer of God's promise to Abraham, even though he didn't know God personally. That would come later. We don't know whether the selling of the birthright had any real significance with the family. We don't know what the father Isaac thought. He certainly probably wasn't too happy. But perhaps this led into the episode some years later in chapter 27, right at the end of Isaac's life, when he wanted to give his father's blessing to his eldest son Esau. The father's final blessing was really significant. In part, it confirmed the birthright, but this blessing was also prophetic, foretelling what God would do in the life of his children and what sort of people they would become. Esau was still his father's favourite, in spite of the way he despised his birthright, in spite of the fact that he'd married Canaanite wives, much to his parents' disgust, and in spite of the fact that God had told Rebekah that her older son would serve the younger, even before the boys were born. But Rebekah had overheard Isaac's plan to bless Esau, and she decided to intervene, using her own devious methods to ensure that Jacob received the blessing. Why would she do so? Was it because of the prophecy? Was it because she was unhappy with Esau's behaviour? Was it simply that Jacob was her favourite? Whichever it was, she decided to intervene and dress Jacob in a way that would deceive his father Isaac. And Esau certainly must have been pretty hairy to be mistaken for a goatskin. So, Jacob got the blessing that was intended for Esau. In chapter 27, verse 28 and 29, we see what sort of blessing that was. Jacob's brothers would bow down to him, and other nations would bow down too. God would bless Jacob with earth's richness, which would be a continuation of God's promise to Abraham that his descendants would possess the land of Canaan one day. And if you read on to the end of the chapter, you'll see that even though Jacob's blessing wasn't intended for him, it was still valid. Jacob still got his father's blessing. Esau had missed his chance. Perhaps Esau finally realized the significance of this blessing, He was angry, but it was too late. So, two very different brothers with very different destinies. And we're all very different from one another. One thing we can learn here is the importance of knowing ourselves. Just like these two brothers, we have our own temperaments and personalities, strengths and weaknesses, and spiritual gifts. And we need to get to know ourselves. Paul tells us that we are all part of the body of Christ, each with different gifts that we can use to take our place in the body. But we need to know our weaknesses too, so that we can know when we're most likely to be tempted. Take time this week to ask yourself what your strengths are, and ask yourself whether you're using your gifts to serve God. Perhaps you could even ask a friend to help you. But ask yourself too about what your weaknesses are, and where you might be tempted to do your own thing and drift away from God. But the most important message today is about seeking and desiring God. God was willing to look beyond Jacob's selfish and scheming behaviour to a man who genuinely knew and wanted what was important. And God is willing to look beyond our faults and failings too. Yes, of course he wants to deal with our sins and weaknesses and to change us, but he wants us to seek and desire him first of all. Jacob and his mother Rebekah were both very imperfect people, but both wanted more of God. Perhaps you're like Jacob, and you've never had a personal encounter with God, but you somehow know that he's out there and that you want to seek him. Keep praying and asking, and do ask Phil or anyone in leadership here about how you can have a personal relationship with our Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. But perhaps you're like Rebekah, you know God already, but you're in an unfamiliar situation where you simply can't understand what's going on and what God is saying or doing. Seek God and ask him, just as Rebekah did, and expect him to answer and to explain and guide you. As we move into a new post-lockdown world, much has changed in our lives and in the church. So we need to be seeking God and asking him to show us more about this new world, and we need to know ourselves in order to take our place in it. One of my favourite Bible passages is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So let's seek more of God and his plans for us in this new season of our lives. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us through your word. Please show each of us our strengths and our weaknesses so that we can learn to serve you better. But most of all, give us a heart and a desire to seek you and to know you more as we come out of lockdown and move into a new season of our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.